All right, Wednesday, 8/7/24. The title is, What Does It Mean to Crucify the Flesh? Gonna love this one. There's a light on in there. Thank you. All right. It's easy to be said about crucifying the flesh, but to carry it out is a little bit more difficult. So what does it mean? It means human nature and the nature of God clash. So we're going to look at the first scriptures. This is Romans 8:13. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We already know that. We cannot operate in the kingdom of God by operating in the flesh. So we find ourselves in quite a state. All right, Romans 8:13, it says, just a minute, an axe. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So those that are led by the flesh are not. So to live after the flesh, it brings death. The Spirit. The word mortify here literally means kill, literally or figuratively. Kill the flesh. Oh, how do you do that? We live in this body. We feel the things. How do you kill the flesh? Through the Spirit. Okay? All right, by following the leading of the Holy Spirit, it'll help us learn to mortify the flesh. That's kind of what we've been going through. That's kind of the training the Lord has put us through. Because He has to know that we will obey orders. Because how can He let loose people that don't know how to walk in the Spirit to do His will? He can't. And you see why we have the mess we have today. You have a whole, all church institutions that really know nothing about walking in the Spirit. And everything that's done, though it may be noble or just men's endeavors. All right, 2 Corinthians 10. I mean, our warfare scripture, it has nothing to do with trying to war in your flesh. But we see that going on every minute of the day. Even Word of Faith people. And I'm not ditching anyone. I'm not. I'm just bringing out the facts. Because you know what? I don't want to ever go that way again, and I don't want to ever lead anybody that way. I want them to know this is what works. You know? Let's get down to brass tacks or whatever you want to call it. Let's do what works. What good is all this other garbage that we've wasted years on that have profited nothing? All right, 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. He's telling you it's not in your flesh. It's about casting down the vain imaginations. Who's bringing those? And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So that'd be whatever's counter to what this book says. and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm not going to read these today in Matthew and Mark, where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he's telling them it's not what goes in the man that defiles him, but it's what comes out of his heart. Because they're all into the rules and the regulations, and of course, him walking in the Spirit, he's going against all of it. And so they're coming down on him. And if I probably went to most churches today and started teaching this kind of thing, same thing would happen. Why? Because they walk in the flesh. They get prayed for, and if it don't happen in 2 minutes, well, we got to go get us some pills. Or, you know, they're going to take it into their own hands to do it. Their own hands. Like I said, I'm not getting on to anyone. It's taken us quite a many years to get to this point that we've realized it ourselves. Wouldn't you rather just have, man, I'm a bottom line person. Just give me the bottom line. I don't need to know all this. I just want to know what the solution is. The thing that's going to work. Now, we can't make anybody. We can't push anybody. All you can do is bring the Word of God in the hopes that they'll grasp a hold of it. I was reading a word that the Lord gave me back in May about the particular thing I'm going through. He starts off saying, it's all just a training exercise. Well, I don't feel like it in any way. I guess it is. But he begins to speak to me about people that are needing deliverance, that the best way for them to get deliverance would be to have their mind renewed, because they have layers upon layers upon layers upon layers upon layers. If you try to get down here, when it's all that going on, it can be a curse to them. They cannot handle that. It would be something they'd have to do gradually, like peeling an onion. It's slowly. That's what the word renewing of the mind does. It slowly gets that layer off, and then that layer off, and that layer off, till it finally gets to the very root. I think we've been getting to the root of these things. And it encouraged me because, you know, people want you to pray for them and things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But he said, just be careful when it comes to the, like, deliverance. You can't take out, like, the five giants of Goliath all at once. You had to just, he took out the one. So the layer, he took out one layer. Later, he took them out at different times over the course of his life. And so that's the way it's best for a person to get deliverance. You can't expect someone that's been listening to the devil and going the world's way for 65 years and just then be free just overnight and just have it right. Because what does it say about when you cast out a spirit? It can come back and seven times worse. So I'm thinking, I can see where laying down sound doctrine is the best way to go. And if the Lord shows you, well, an area to go in and you speak that or say that, that's fine. But isn't that kind of the way the Lord always does things? It's line upon line, precept upon precept. We're wanting all these big deliverance services and all the demons are screaming and running around. We've been in some of those. It's a madhouse. Did anybody really ever get free? I don't think so. It's a big show. Big show. Well, the big show's over. It's time to get back to basics. It's time to do things that really are going to do it. Because I don't want any other. What has not worked, I'm going to throw it out. All right. Carnal. Carnal is pertaining to the flesh, bodily, temporal, animal, unregenerate. Those are the meanings. Most Christians live after the flesh. It's just, I am not ditching Christians. They just have not been taught. We've not had the apostles and the prophets in the church for the most part to make sure that the doctrine's laid down correctly. pastors can't do it. It's obvious. It's obvious. The closest that I can find that's gotten there was probably Brother Hagin. And he pastored a lot of churches, one of his little churches. He said in the 12 years they were there, I think it was, they never buried one person. Did I get it right?
In the 12 years he pastored, he never buried
one person. Yeah, he never buried one person. Because they taught the people just the very basics. And he's a prophet, so he's part of that team. All right. They're thinking they're doing the Holy Spirit's works, but in actuality, they're just walking in the flesh because that's how they've been taught. You know why they call them sheep? They got a lot of fleece. They've been fleeced over and over and over again. One of the biggest supporters of pharmakia there is. Okay. We're going to look at some stuff here in faith food. Like I said, Brother Hagin, he was very, very simple in his methods, but very profound. Right here, faith, not sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Smith Wigglesworth said something that blessed me when I first read it way back in the late 30s because it was so in line with my own experience. He said, I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I am moved only by what I believe. Then he went on to say, I can't understand God by feelings. I can't understand the Lord Jesus by feelings. I understand God by what the Word says about Him. Understand the Lord Jesus Christ by what the Word says about Him. He is everything the Word says He is. So we don't base our yo-yo Christianity on how we feel. It's based on what God's Word says. There's the grounding. You will not be able to understand yourself by feelings. Instead, understand yourself as a born-again, spirit-filled Christian by what the Word of God says about you. I can remember as a young Christian, if you didn't get blessed in the service, you went home depressed. Well, I guess God don't love me. What's that got to do with it? Nothing. Because everything was based on hype and tingles, and I felt the Spirit. Can't tell you how many services we were in like that. Sometimes it was a true manifestation of the Spirit. Sometimes it's just dead gum hype. The emotions got all involved in it. Ever been in those kind of services? You will not be able to understand yourself by feelings. Instead, understand yourself as a born-again Christian, Spirit-filled Christians, by what the Word of God says about you. And when you read what the Word says about you, whether you like it or you don't, say, yes, that's me, I have that. The Word says I have that. I can do what the Word says I can do. I'm what the Word says I am. As you do this, you will begin to develop spiritually. In other words, you're putting aside all the fleshly hype, feelings. It's not based on feelings. Never has been. You know, he'd say, I think it was him that would say, by the look of people, you'd think, God, look at them. They ain't got a thing. And they'd be the most spiritual one in the bunch. The one that jumped and shouted and said this and that and so and so. They'd think, oh, yeah, he got it. He can get zip. It's just all a bunch of hype. All right. Let's keep going here. Examine your leading. Knowing this first, the no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Word and the Spirit agree. How can you tell if it is the Spirit of God? If it is in line with the Word, then it is the Spirit of God. If it's not in line with the Word, then it is not the Spirit. I've had people tell me God was leading them to do something, and when I heard what it was, I said, no, that's not the Spirit of God. This is an extreme case, but it's true. A man told me he thought the Spirit of God was leading him and another woman to leave their spouses and marry another. No. I'm telling you, that is out of line with the Word. The Holy Spirit does not break up homes. The Spirit and the Word agree. The Bible is inspired by the Spirit of God. Examine your leading in the light of the Word, not by what you feel. And we know about those feelings. Can you imagine? People do this stuff all the time. There's the biggest impropriety in the pastors, among the pastors, than any other fivefold ministry gift. Why? Because they're all among the people. I remember the First Baptist Church I went to in high school. Really liked that pastor, and his little wife played the piano. He ran off with the organ player. Remember coming one Sunday. And here we had a little teacher. She was such a good little teacher. She followed us up through. She didn't transfer us every year to a new teacher. She stayed with us, and she was pretty sound. And I remember there was an evangelist there, and he was just bringing the hellfire and the brimstone, and all the kids were getting up and leaving. They were scared. She said, she came back to me and said, Carter, don't you doubt your salvation. You know, she was just very, very, she didn't know much, but what she knew, she was very strong in it. Was encouraging, y'all don't go by this hype. All right, direction. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It is not for us to tell the Lord how to lead us. We are to let him lead us any way he wants to. But it is for us to find out from the Word of God how he does lead. And he leads, first of all, by the inward witness. Now, we've been talking about the inner life. We've been talking about, you know, getting that peace, making the call on the inside. We can also see in the book of Acts and elsewhere how at times some believers receive guidance through a vision. Others receive guidance from an angel who appeared to them and told them certain things. Such phenomena, however, didn't happen every day in these people's lives. They occurred once or twice in the entire lifetime of some of them. You know, it's reading the Bible, we think everything happened next day. So that's not the ordinary way God leads, but he can if he wants to. Often God is trying to bear witness with our spirit, trying to guide us, but we won't listen because we want something spectacular, such as a vision or an angel. But we must remember that anything God does is supernatural. If God speaks to you and by the inward witness, that's supernatural. And that's the best way to hear. All right, one more. Fleeces. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. To receive guidance, some people put out what they call a fleece before the Lord. The New Testament, however, does not say as many as are led by fleeces, they are the sons of God. Yet someone may say, but Gideon put out a fleece back in the Old Testament. Why go back under the Old Covenant? We've got something better under the New Covenant. The Old Covenant was for spiritually dead people. I'm not spiritually dead, I'm alive. I've got the Spirit of God in me. Remember, Gideon was not a prophet, priest, or king. Only men who stood in those three offices under the Old Covenant were anointed by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was not personally present with the rest of the people. That is why every male had to present himself once a year at the temple in Jerusalem. The Shekinah glory, the presence of God, was kept shut up in the Holy of Holies. But when Jesus died on Calvary, the curtain that blocked the way to the Holy of Holies was ripped in two from top to bottom. God moved out, and he has never dwelt in an earth-made house since. He dwells in us. Where is temple? We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, it's a sad thing that most Christians don't get that. They don't see that. But that's going to change. It has to for us to go forward And it's going to take time for that to happen. All right. I've made this statement a couple of times that even as Word of Faith people, most of us were just mimicking our teachers. We just did what they did, said what they said, but we did not get the results they did. How come? They were in the spirit and we were in the flesh. When you have a word, be sure the spirit agrees with it. The spirit and the word will agree always. We followed the leader, but the leader followed God. That's why you have to be careful about the books you buy and who you listen to. All right. Can you understand why God doesn't get in a hurry with us? See, we're not only having to be programmed in His ways, but deprogrammed of ways we were taught wrong. Or maybe we just didn't get it right. I don't know. I'm not, like I said, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not blaming the faith teachers. But, like I said, I want to get it right. Okay. God has got to be able to trust us. When He puts us on an assignment, He has to know that we will follow it through and obey it to the letter. I mean, He tells you to do something and you do it for 3 or 4 months and then all of a sudden you kind of put it aside and you go on your way. Then He starts reminding you, remember way back then when I asked you to do this? And we're wanting Lord to do something. But He can't even get us to do that. Can you understand? Yeah. All right. I use Brother Hagin's examples because he was so simple and practical. I probably learned the most from him than anybody that I've ever listened to. And he's the only one the Lord said if I had a question about something that probably more than likely I could find maybe the answer in one of his books. So, anyway. All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7. This is Paul. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I wanted to put that there because Paul had to keep his body under. And he asked the Lord to take it off. But the Lord said, no, you know, my grace is sufficient for you. You'll be strong in that weakness. My manifestation of my power will flow through you. My grace will be on you in your weakness, not in your strength, in your weakness. Okay. Let's look at a few scriptures here concerning this. 1 Corinthians 9 is another one. You know, Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, you know what I mean? He was high up. He had fleshly tendencies, just like all of us do. I'm sure it was hard for him to not handle things in his flesh, especially against these peers, you know what I'm saying? All right, 1 Corinthians 9, let's start with 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, be not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as certainly, uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. Do you get what he's saying? When we just do fleshly things, we're just beating the air. We're not attaining anything. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Yeah, he keeps under his body, brings it into subjections. All I know to do is you can't let the flesh have its way. Even though it's screaming at you. How we coddle the flesh. Just think about it. We coddle our flesh. We do. We want to be comfortable. We don't like pain. I don't either. I'm with you. A few more scriptures. 2 Corinthians 6:5. Right here, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. This was the life of Paul. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Fastings. Nobody likes to hear about fasting, do they? 2 Corinthians 11:27. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Not comfortable. Fastings means abstinence, in whatever way you want to take it. Abstinence means you're not giving the flesh what the flesh wants. Paul said he brought his body into subjection. That word in the Strong's is subordination. All right, this is just the dictionary. Subordination means inferior in rank or position. Like I said, we want to be comfortable. And when our flesh starts screaming, we want to do all that we can to get it to quit screaming. But is that the right thing to do? Oh, how we coddle our flesh. Here's what coddle means. To treat gently with great care, overprotective. Like a baby. All right, Jesus said this. This is Luke chapter 9. We're nearly done here. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. Hey, when you get it, I've gotten it first. I get to hear it from the Lord first. I get to go through the correction first before I ever bring it to you. Just letting you know, it's not just for you. I have to toe the line too. All right, this is 23 through 25. And he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? You know, I think about the ones that are Christians that it took the jab and some are going to lose their life over it. I don't know how the Lord thinks about that. But I know if they'd known how to walk in the Spirit, maybe they wouldn't have done it. Maybe they would have seen it. If we saw it, couldn't they have seen it? If we knew, no. I mean, there was never a doubt, no. All right, Luke 14:27. And whatsoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Where there's a cross, there's a crucifixion. And I don't mean being nailed to a tree. I mean, if you're going to follow God, there's just going to be some discomfort in the flesh. It's just going to happen. One more scripture and we'll be done here. This is Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We know Jesus struggled very desperately before he went to his crucifixion. Thank God he denied the flesh and he carried it out. He did that for us. He's not asking us to die for him. He's just asking us to carry our cross and do what he requires of us.